But let's go to chapter 1 of Ruth. We learn that the people of Israel were indeed experiencing a famine which drove Elimelech's family away from Yahweh's promised land and into the land of Moab, which was at the time their enemy, only to find death and emptiness. Elimelech and his sons die there, leaving Naomi and her daughters-in-law alone and quite vulnerable. The story continues as Ruth pledges loyalty to Naomi and Naomi's God, Yahweh. And they decide to head back to Bethlehem as the famine ends. And the barley harvest is actually underway. So if you haven't yet cracked open your Bibles, I encourage you to do so. Turn with me to Ruth chapter 2. It's right after the book of Judges and right before 1 and 2 Samuel. Go right there in the Old Testament. In verses 1 to 7 of that second chapter, we meet Boaz, who we learn is a relative of Elimelech. And that is Naomi's deceased husband, right? And so Boaz is now entering the picture. And so we're kind of cued, who is this important person? And immediately we realize that things are not as nearly as bleak as we were led to believe back in chapter 1 at the end there, you know, verses 1 to 11, where she suggests that there is no one to carry on the family line, just no one, at the end of the chapter there. For the person hearing or reading the story for the first time, we kind of go, okay, Boaz is now coming into this story, and there's actually something good happening here. Wonder what's going to happen. And we soon find out that Naomi's future is getting brighter and brighter. Now, back to chapter 2, verse 1. Boaz is wealthy. He is someone who has got large holdings of land, but he's much more than that. In verse 4, again, it shows that he is a man of God. He greets the workers with, "The Lord be with you." They answer, "The Lord bless you." This is obviously a regular greeting on their field. He's a man of God. God saturates even the farming business and his relationship with his workers as an employer. Now, although he greets them with God, we'll soon see that these were just more than pious platitudes. It was more than just a happy greeting. We then go also and meet more in depth the character of Ruth in verses 1 to 7. And this is something that we kind of see here as she proceeds to work and act in chapter 2. Here are some observations that I made about Ruth, who is a woman of character. And I just make three quick observations. Ruth's initiative to care for Naomi is the first one. We see Ruth's initiative to care for her mother-in-law here. Notice in verse 2, Naomi does not command Ruth to get out and work. "Hey, go, we're starving. Go get some food." Ruth actually says to Naomi, "Please, would you let me go to the field and glean or gather the leftover grain?" Ruth has devoted herself to Naomi and takes the initiative to work and provide for both of them. Number 2, Ruth is humble, and Ruth's humility is definitely characterized here. She knows how to take initiative without being presumptuous. In verse 7, the servants report to Boaz how she had approached them that morning. Right? She goes to the foreman, the worker foreman who's in charge of the whole field. And she does not demand handout. She does not presume the right even to glean. All she wants to do is gather up the leftovers after the reapers are done, and she then asks permission to then glean after them. She understands that she's another foreign woman from Moab, no less. And she's like another foreign woman in the Gospels who came to Jesus and said, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Kind of gleaning, right? To which then Jesus responds by saying, "This woman is a woman of faith." Ruth knows how to take the initiative, but she is not pushy and she's not presumptuous, but rather meek and humble. My last observation for Ruth is she is an amazingly hard worker. In verse 7, it continues, "She has continued from early morning until now without resting even for a moment." Go all the way down to verse 17. It goes on to say that she gleaned until evening, and then before she quit, she beat out what she gleaned. She measured it and took it home to Naomi. The writer here wants us to know that Ruth is a hard worker, and she's actually a great person to follow as an example of hard work. She takes the initiative to care for her destitute mother-in-law. She's humble, she's meek, and she does not put herself forward presumptuously. She works hard from sunup till sundown. So she has shown initiative, she's someone who shows humility, and she is someone of industry. These are three great characteristics that the writer points out. So keep your eyes open for these traits again. Let's move on. This now sets us up for God guiding Ruth as she gleans. And this is the whole fun part of the story, right? Ruth happens to come to Boaz's field. And she wonders, as the whole drama unfolds, why has she found favor with Boaz? So you take a look at verses 8 and 9. Boaz approaches Ruth and shows her great kindness. Even though she's a foreigner, she's shown great kindness. He provides food by telling her to work in his field and stay close behind the women working in his field. He provides protection by telling the young men, hey, don't bother this foreign woman, please. Just leave her alone and let her do her job. Verse 9. And he provides for her thirst by saying, hey, you can drink from all the water that the men have drawn from the well. And you can bet that at that time the men would have said, hey, hands off, we've drawn that. That's hard work. But he says to his workers, his young men, you know what? Let her drink. Let her have her fill. So something's going on, and even the workers are taking notice. All of Boaz's wealth and his godliness begin to work for Ruth's and Naomi's favor and welfare here. Go to verses 10 to 13. This is the important part. Ruth raises a question which turns out to be very profound. It's one that we all probably need to ask God from time to time. Why are you being so kind to me? Hardly anything in our life is more important than the answer that we'll get. Ruth knows that she's a foreigner from Moab. From the cultural viewpoint at that time, she had two strikes against her. First of all, she's a foreigner. Second, she's a Moabitess, someone who was not liked at the time. She does not resent this, but she merely accepts this fact. And as a non-Israelite, she does not expect any special treatment. She is very different from most people, I think, that we might find today. Most of us, if we are shown kindness and are given some kind of mercy, we'll respond in kind. But some of us might actually seek justice. And if we don't get reciprocal treatment, right? If we show kindness to someone, we expect them to show kindness back to us. And if that wasn't shown to us, boy, we'd be mad or offended, or we'd question that person's character. But Naomi doesn't do this. Ruth doesn't do this. So Boaz answers her question, why are you so kind to me? He answers her question in verse 11. Take a look at this. Because you have loved Naomi so much that you were willing to leave father and mother to serve her in the foreign land. But he goes on to verse 12, and this is the key. And this is the key, because God is really the one who's rewarding Ruth for her love and devotion to Naomi. Boaz is only the instrument of God. Then Boaz blesses Ruth with the words, may the Lord reward you fully, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. The picture here is a picture of God as a great winged eagle, and Ruth as a threatened eaglet, and coming to and finding safety under the eagle's wings. And so that's kind of the metaphor that we have here, this big ferocious eagle, kind of like from the Lord of the Rings, if you watch that. These were massive eagles here, and who this person is protecting is just a small little baby. And is very vulnerable. And he's finding shelter under the wings of this giant eagle. The thing is, it has nothing to do with what Ruth has done in verse 12. The whole point here is when a person goes to God and hides under his wing, God's honor is at stake. And he will be merciful. If we plead God's value as the source of our hope instead of pleading for our own value as the source of God's hope, then his unwavering commitment, at least in this passage here, engages all his heart for the protection and joy of that person. Let's take a look at the gospel for a minute. Back in verse 10 in Ruth, why have I found favor? The gospel answers this question. The answer is that she's taken refuge under the wings of God and that this has given her the freedom and desire to leave home and love Naomi. She's not earned mercy from God or Boaz. She's not their employee. They're not paying her wages for her work. There's not some kind of economic transaction going on. On the contrary, she has honored them by admitting her need for their work and simply taking refuge in their generosity. This is the message of the gospel in the New Testament. God will have mercy on anyone, whether it's Palestinian or Israelite, or Canadian or Syrian coming through our doors now, who humbled themselves like Ruth and takes refuge under the wings of God. Jesus said in Matthew 23, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, yet you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate." All the Pharisees had to do was take refuge under the wings of God in Jesus. Stop justifying themselves, he was saying. He was challenging them about relying on themselves. Stop glorifying themselves, Jesus was saying. But they would not. And Ruth was not their model. They knew about this story. And yet they did not take her model as their own. There was no falling on their face before Jesus, no bowing down, no astonishment at the grace that was shown and loving kindness that was shown to them. The lesson for us, brothers and sisters, is this. We're asked not to be like those people. Don't be like the Pharisees. And I think sometimes we are. We're people who take pride in paying attention to the word of God. And that's who the Pharisees were. But the plea for us is to be like Ruth. God is not an employer looking for employees. He doesn't want this economic transaction. He is an eagle looking for people who will take refuge under his wings. He is a mother hen, actually, caring for his chicks. He's looking for people who will leave father and mother and even homeland, as the Kabaya-Baya family has, to find refuge under the wings of Jesus. So as we consider this chapter of the story, Ruth chapter 2, let us reflect on our own situations as individuals. How are we relying on God? Is our posture one of humility and thankfulness before the Almighty Maker, the Creator? Or is our posture one of self-sufficiency? Is it one of entitlement? Do we feel owed something? God's grace is a wonderful gift. It's not part of a transaction. As a body of believers, how will we help those who are foreigners in our midst? The way Boaz helps Ruth. How will we welcome them and care for them and love them the way Ruth cared for Naomi, the way Boaz cared for Ruth and through Ruth, Naomi? The Lord's kindness has not forsaken the living, Naomi and Ruth, or the dead, Elimelech and Chilion. It was the Lord who stopped the famine. It was the Lord who bound Ruth to Naomi in love. It was the Lord who saved Boaz for Ruth. And Ruth did not just happen to come to Boaz's field. The light of God's love led Ruth to Boaz's field and is finally broken through, bright enough as a faith encourager for Naomi to see what was going on. The Lord is kind. He is good. It is good to all who take refuge under his wings. So, brothers and sisters, let us, as Ruth does, fall on our faces and bow before our Maker. And let's adopt a posture of humility. Let's adopt a posture of graciousness and thankfulness to our God, who has provided for our needs and continues to sustain us. And let us finally be astonished by his grace. Thanks be to God.